Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that welcome. It's good to be here. And I just want to, there's a lot going on here today, so that's exciting. We rejoice in all that. You're a busy community. You're involved. I can tell you're a family. You're doing things together. You're living life together. That's what it's all about, right? To connect with the body of Christ and advance things forward. I love the song that you sang. What a picture for us. That's what it's about. I was sitting there and hearing that, and I said, we need to be living life. Jesus came to give us abundant life. So we need to not just live life and take up space, but live it, truly live it and enjoy it and be grateful for what God has given us. So amen to that. And let me open up with a quick declaration over you before I share with you what I have for you today. So just close your eyes, and if you'd like to raise your hands, you can do that. Father, this morning we thank you for bringing us to this point. Thank you for moving in our midst this morning. And now, Lord, for what you're about to declare, we take authority in the atmosphere, Lord, over anything that would want to hinder, anything that would want to counter what you want to release. We thank you for ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that understand your purposes and your desire for us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. It's an interesting time. It's a great time to be alive, to see the kingdom of God expanding across the nations of the world. I love seeing and getting the reports of how God is just invading the nations and people going forth and being on the front lines of taking the gospel and preaching and evangelizing and praise God for all that. I could also see areas here in the U.S., even though, we see areas where the kingdom has to continue to be expanded here. But we do see areas where the kingdom is present and advancing, and there is a generation that's rising up and connecting with God and taking that message forth. So there's a lot to rejoice for in this hour. After the elections, and things like that, we always see a lot of setbacks, and we see areas where like, wow, we need improvement here, points that we need to pray about. But we are about expanding the kingdom of God. I've heard someone once say, God's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. I understand that. He's about his purposes and his agenda. It's kind of like when Joshua crossed over to the promised land and he encountered an angel. And once he encountered that angel, he asked that angel a very important question. Are you for us or are you against us? And the angel said, neither. I'm here as the commander of the armies of the Lord. In other words, I'm here on God's agenda. If you're on God's agenda, I'm for you. If you're not on God's agenda, guess what? It's going to be tough for you. You're going to have a hard time. And what I want to talk to you about today is why sometimes when we love the Lord and when we want to move forward and we want to advance his purposes, why is it that we find ourselves not being able to do that? I think that we get saved, we give our lives to the Lord. I don't know about you, but we can all remember when we fully surrendered to Christ. I grew up in church, but I fully surrendered to Christ when I was 16 years old. And having had given myself to the occult, and I was involved in the occult, and I was involved in all that darkness, and renouncing that at the altar and giving that over to God and saying, God, you can have my life. If it's worth anything, use it. It's in your hands, and so on and so forth. And immediately I found myself in church, fellowshipping with the saints, growing and learning about the kingdom of God. And at the same time, I started finding that back at home, I was encountering these battles, these spiritual battles that started raging all around me. Every time I would try to pray, I would feel like a fear starting to rise up. I was afraid to pray. I felt like something was out to get me. I couldn't quite pinpoint it. And I would go grab my Bible. I'd go into my room and I'd shut the door and I'd start trying to pray. And this anxiety would start rising up around me. And I would feel nervous and fear starting to manifest itself. And every time I tried to read the word, the same thing. Every time I tried to pray, the same thing. And finally, I said, God, I'm trying to seek your face, but it's as if though I'm having a hard time. Now, I don't have this problem at church, but when I'm at home on my own, I'm struggling to connect with your presence. What's going on? And slowly but surely, the Lord began to speak to me and to teach me about, now that I have been saved connected with his kingdom, he was beginning to show me how the kingdom of darkness was launching an attack against me to stop my growth. So I had to quickly learn how to rise up, how to mature in the Word of God. I had to learn how to get authority and power. And I had to learn how to walk into my house and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. I had to learn how to use authority. I had to learn how to lay hold of the Word of God to establish an atmosphere in my home where I could seek the Lord. And I started realizing something very interesting. The enemy's a bully. He's a bully. He loves to bully. And you know the thing about bullies, if you don't stand up to them, what do? They don't go anywhere. You empower them. And I learned very quickly, I have to learn the authority that I have, who I am in Christ, to rise up and to take authority and to put the enemy in his place. And thank God I was able to do that and start growing, and then from then on start developing a prayer life at home and so on and so forth. And today I want to talk to you about how sometimes we, after we get saved, here we are, we've given our lives to Jesus Christ, and when we're in the world, we're under the spirit of the world. And then when we get saved, now we give our lives to the Lord, but sometimes even though we're here serving God, we could still think and process as if though we're still over here. And there's a conflict. And when there's a conflict in that, that equals and that results in believers not being able to manifest power. The enemy understands one thing, power and authority. He's like a squatter. He'll come in, and unless we use power and authority to cast him out, he will not leave. And I find it interesting that many believers are struggling with stepping into victory in their lives and walking that out. So today I want to talk to you about how we need to make sure that we are divorcing ourselves and breaking away from the spirit of the world, from what's behind the spirit of the world, which I'll talk about in just a moment. One thing is certain. I like this quote. One thing is certain about life is that life is filled with uncertainty. Isn't that true? However, I heard this other quote. Your Father is as near to you when you journey through a dark tunnel as when you journey under an open heaven. Isn't that beautiful? So there are many uncertainties in life. But one thing is for sure, we'll find ourselves in moments, in times where we're going to need direction. We're going to need counsel. We're going to need clarity for the future. And I don't know about you, but I remember, you know, in the world, you learn kind of the world's ways. And in the world, because they don't have a connection with God, they handle their moments of uncertainty differently, right? They panic. They fear. They plan their own way. They do everything but go to God because they don't have a connection with the Lord. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. Let me read this scripture to you. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. Because if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. You and I were once part of the world. And when we were part of the world, we were part of this system and structure. And it's so interesting how in the world there is an antichrist system. We know that. All we have to do is take a look at what's going on right now. Antichrist seems to be the ruling spirit of the world. But you and I were once part of the world. We were in the world. We were involved in the world. We were partakers of the world. We were helping to expand the Antichrist agenda through the way that we lived, through the way that we thought, through the things that we believed. We lived our lives in an Antichrist fashion. Sometimes I think we're so busy looking for who the Antichrist is going to be that we miss the fact that the Bible's talking about that there is an Antichrist structure. There's a spirit in the world that we are not to partake of. Once we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we are to divorce that and learn God's ways. So the world has a seducing spirit over it. It's that Antichrist structure. The music plays through the radio with Antichrist agenda. It's playing on the movie screens with Antichrist agenda. There's a new TV show coming out now about Lucifer. It's called Lucifer. It's kind of glorifying his role and making him look like this cool thing. Look at the movies coming out. It's more and more dull. They're getting darker and darker, more occult, making it look like that's the answer. A lot of humanism. So there's an Antichrist agenda, and the spirit of the world wants to have you come under its control. But here we are. We gave our lives to the Lord. How many of you belong to Christ? I'll tell you the date when I really committed. January 5th, 1988. I'll never forget it. I grew up in church, but it was January 5th, 1988, where I find myself at an altar, crying my heart out and repenting with everything in me, saying, God, if my life is worth anything, you could have it. And at that moment, I left and I gave up my involvement with the world and I became part of God's kingdom. Because the world says, the word says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. When you're part of the world, you come under the seducing spirit of the world. And you become a part of the Antichrist agenda, whether you know it or not. And then when you're part of that, what happens is you become conformed. God has a great plan for you, but when you're part of that agenda, what ends up happening is, there's a word here that I'm looking for. What is it when you have a standard and you don't quite meet it for yourself? You compromise. When you conform to the world, you compromise yourself. You come under a structure that's not God's best for you. Actually, it's a structure that's going to bring damage to you. And I'm sharing this with you today because I want to talk about how to manifest the power of God. We can never manifest the power of God if we're still under that Antichrist structure. Do not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed. So when you get saved, that's great. We praise God when people give their lives to the Lord and they become saved. But not only saved, we want them discipled out from under that Antichrist structure into the kingdom of God. Into kingdom thinking, where power is, where authority is, where the presence of God is, where we can really have an impact, where we can really make a difference. There's nothing that I like saying this because it's true. No one wants your religion. Religion doesn't do anything. There's a lot of good intention. There's a lot of that. That's great. But religion doesn't have the power to make change, to bring a transformation. That comes only from the power of God. And that only happens when we are believers yielded to the kingdom of God, renewing our minds according to the word of the Lord. We're not to be conformed. The world needs solutions. The world needs answers. And what the world doesn't need, what doesn't help the world get those answers, are believers that are living compromised, where they're called to be part of the kingdom, but they're believing this Antichrist structure. They're under the seducing spirits. The world tells you a whole bunch of lies. And unfortunately, many believers live there. And as a result, they can't manifest the power that's in them. I've had people ask me all the time, I hear what you're saying. I've taken part of your classes, but I can't hear the voice of God. It doesn't work for me. And I said, well, somebody's lying, either you or Jesus. Because Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So who's telling the truth? Of course, Jesus is, because he has the spirit of truth. He cannot lie. But see, you're believing a lie. The world would say to you, God doesn't know you. God doesn't care about you. He's too busy. He's running a universe. The world says to you, you're on your own. The world says to you, use the best of your wisdom. Use the best of your knowledge. Google it on the internet. Find a way and make a way and go for it. That's Antichrist thinking. When we're part of the kingdom of God, we know the word of God. We've renewed our minds. We renewed our thinking. And we know that that's not how it works. That's what the world tells us. But the word says to us, call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show you things that you did not know. The word teaches us God has a word for you. God has a solution for you. God has a strategy for you. He wants to show you the way to go. Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy, through empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Part of the Antichrist structure is man's logic. It's funny, I was reading the story of Alexander the Great, who went out conquering the world at a young age. Pretty impressive what he did at a young age. But what he did was he took with him and expanded the Greek Empire, which elevated and worshipped logical thinking. It's all about the intellect. So all your solution is all about the intellect. Actually, one of the Greek philosophers believed that in order to reach God, you had to reach into the mind. That to think about it and to process it and come up with an idea was to reach God. The idea was the substance that you've reached through to the Lord. I'll tell you what, you can do your best thinking. Thinking helps. Thank God for a brain. He gave us a brain to have common sense, to know limits, to not jump off of, you know, roofs and stuff like that. So thank God for it. We need it. And there's a purpose for it. But the thinking and your logic can't bring you revelation. And actually, as soon as you get revelation, the first thing to fight you is your thinking. Revelation will say, God will say, get out the boat and walk on that water. You can do it. And your thinking kicks in and says, I'm not going to do that. Your thinking is limited to the natural realm. It's limited to the five senses. It's limited to what you can see. It's limited to that. Doesn't go beyond that. It doesn't allow you to tap into what God is saying. But part of the Antichrist structure is philosophies, empty philosophy, empty debating, empty opinions, empty traditions of men that bring no power. The kingdom of God is not just word and sermons and speech, it's power. Paul said, I didn't bring you all this blah, blah, blah. I brought you some power. I demonstrated power. The enemy understands power. When you walk it, listen, I get the phone calls. I can pull out my phone and show you pictures. I get people saying, Hector, we have things moving in our house. Doors slamming, voices, our kids don't even want to be there anymore. I've had unbelievers hear about my ministry and they've reached out and we've helped them. I'll never forget that one house we did in West Irondequoit. We took a team. It was a rainy night, and I'll tell you, as soon as we pulled up, this lady, it was a coworker of a friend of ours. So our friend said, you need to reach out to this ministry. They can help you. So she did. She said, would you come help us? Our kids don't want to stay at our house. We're hearing noises, voices. So we pulled up one evening with our prayer team, and from the curb, you could feel the house radiating. You could just feel the demonic radiation coming off the house. I was like, wow, do you feel that? So we get out of the car, and we walk over, and I had a moment of an orientation with her. I kind of said, here's what we're looking for. Here's what we're going to be doing. Come to find out, I didn't know she was a believer. She was going to a Baptist church, but they didn't know much about what they were dealing with. So I said, well, here's what I'm looking for. Looking for any objects, any power objects, anything that would be, you know, have any graven images or things like that or from other religions. And so I walk in and I'm finding Buddhas and I'm finding all these statues and I'm thinking, whoa. I says, do I have your permission? She said, whatever needs to go, let it go. And I said, okay, get a bag. We were clearing stuff out. We were just taking authority. We made it up to the attic. And at the end, I'll tell you what, it was up there. It was just like really, really, really thick. I mean, it was really bad. So we're praying throughout the house. We're anointing her house. We're commanding things to leave. And we finished the whole house that night. And it was a few years. I didn't hear anything back until recently. I heard from her and she said she never had a problem in that house again. Praise God for that. We used our authority. We used our power because the enemy's a squatter. He will stay there if you let him stay there. I had another couple. Hector, we have, and these are believers. Hector, we can't sleep. We keep having demonic nightmares. Things are going on. And I said, well, let's take a team and we'll walk through your house. The enemy understands power. I said, you have power to do it, but sometimes we need help. We need others to come alongside us. So we took a team and we walked through the house. And as we're walking through the house, I'll never forget, I walked into the living room by the fireplace, and there were these two huge, enormous, dragon-looking ceramic things. And as soon as I saw them, that inkling on the inside, I said, that's it right there. I said, I don't know where you bought those from, but I'm telling you, you know, you got to get rid of that. That is just, I'm telling you, it's like a power object. And the wife said to me, do you know how much I paid for that? And I said, well, which do you want, freedom or nice ceramic dragon statues? I feel like you've got to pick one. And she actually thought about it for a while. So, well, it's your choice. You're not going to accuse me of coming in here and throwing anything out. But they did. They got rid of it. And that night, they called me the very next morning it was the first time they were able to sleep in a very, very long time. The enemy understands power and authority. And the reason why sometimes we've been unsuccessful at rising up in victory is because rather than renewing our minds according to the kingdom of God, we still believe things that we believed back here. We still believe things that the world is telling us. And we must come to a place of renewing our minds according to the word of God. The word says that the gospel is veiled. Did you know that? Those that are under the Antichrist system, the gospel is veiled. We're praying for them. We love them. We're hoping they get saved. But it's like they have a veil over their eyes. They're not able to see because the enemy blinds them with a veil. It says it's veiled to those who are perishing. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You and I were once blinded. Praise God for freedom, right? Praise God for salvation. Where now we can see. But there are those that are still operating underneath that blindness. The world knows how to blind, knows how to lead people astray away from the glorious call of Jesus Christ. But once we get saved, there's another step. It doesn't stop at salvation. Now we must learn the kingdom of God. We must learn how things function in the kingdom of God. How many of you have heard of the teaching? There's a teaching out there called the Seven Mountains of Society. Anybody hear of that teaching? There are seven mountains of society that God has established to be a blessing in the earth. But the enemy has hijacked them, and he's using them for his purposes. And when we look at how the enemy is using the seven mountains of society, we could see that there are seducing spirits operating in the world through those systems. Let me give you what the seven are. The financial system, the political system, the educational system, the healthcare system, the family system, communications, and the religious system. God set all that up to be a blessing in the world, but the enemies hijacked that. And what we see are they're ruling spirits over each and every system in the world, and really it's advancing the Antichrist agenda. The financial system, there's so much greed. There's so much of that going on, and that's because there's a spirit of mammon behind that. And the Bible talks about the greed and even the political spirit. I don't need to go further into that, right? I can leave that there, right? How the enemy uses the political system. The educational system. God's not even welcome in the educational system anymore. The healthcare system. Yes, it has a role and it can help, but now you've got people addicted to medications and it's not helping any. It's a problem on top of another problem. And so the seven systems of society, there it's also being ruled by this Antichrist structure. So as a result, here's how the world answers problems for us. We've got people asking, for example, someone asked the question, who should I marry? The world would say, marry whoever or whatever you like. Isn't that the world's answer to everything? You're entitled. Marry whoever. Marry whatever. That's how the world answers because, again, it's a different spirit. Should I move in with them first before I get married? Of course. The world says, of course. How are you going to know if it's worth marrying or not if you don't try it out first? Take it for a test drive. You can pay bills together. So as you can see, the systems of the world, they don't represent God. They're anti-God. They're anti-Christ. And as believers now, it's important that we begin to learn a few things. And one of the things that we must understand is the word says these signs will follow those who believe. When we're believing and when we have our minds renewed according to the word of God, we are manifesting the presence of God in our lives. We are manifesting power. We're praying for others and we're seeing change happen as a result of that. When we're out from under the Antichrist system and we're connected with the kingdom of God and we have renewed our minds, it's easy to believe. It's easy to read the word and believe what we're reading. It's easy to connect with God in prayer and feel like we're growing in the Lord, see that we're growing in the Lord. I believe that believers should bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit should be evident. Are we loving? When I was under the Antichrist system, I had a frown on my face all week long. I was miserable. I was sad. I was angry. I was mad. Now, there's a smile on my face. Is there joy in your life? Are we able to manifest power? Are we demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit? Those are signs that we've renewed our thinking. You know, even in ministry, there are believers that like ministry. What I found is that ministry will amplify where you're at. Okay? Ministry will amplify where you're at. I don't want to be up here amplifying where I'm at if where I'm at is not going to help the body move forward. Okay? So we must renew our thinking according to the word of God. The world needs solutions. It needs answers. There are people right now that need healing, need wholeness, need deliverance, need restoration. There are people suffering. People right now considering suicide, considering all these crazy things. They need an encounter with God. And God has an army on the face of the earth. But not all of us are connected and not all of us have done our due diligence to renew our minds. It's important to renew our minds. It'll be like being out of Egypt but still living like we live in Egypt. How it was when we lived in Egypt. God wants us free from that. So one of the things that I found is a group of people that have been taught that God doesn't speak today. It's a group of people that have been taught that God has no plan for their lives today. That is not true. And therefore, in our ministry, one of the things that we've done is we've hit that area very hard where we've been teaching that God does speak today. That Jesus said that his sheep will know his voice, will hear his voice, that they'll know his voice, that they'll grow to understand him in intimacy, that he'll know us. Knowing meaning as a husband and a wife, he'll know us in intimacy, that we can grow in that place, that it is possible to live so connected to God. I love the question that that someone asked earlier today. How many of you have seen miracles? That's great. We see miracles, and I feel like it's easier to see more and more miracles the more we renew our mind according to the Word of God. It's time to demonstrate power. It's time to not only in our lives, but for the future generations. That's where my heart is at right there. So that they will see that not only do we read the Word, not only do we preach the Word and impart the Word, but we model the Word. That we're able to go forth. I remember not too long ago, I was meeting Pastor Ron for a cup of coffee at a Starbucks. I put my order in. And, you know, you order here and then you go over there to wait for your order. So I put my order in. And then as soon as I walked over to the other side of the counter, there was a young man sitting there. And as soon as I saw him, I just felt the Lord rise up in me. And I just walked over to him and I said, wow. I said, you have such a gift of creativity. What a gift of creativity you have. I said, as a matter of fact, I believe that God is going to give you an ability to use that gift of creativity. I see you drawing. And that gift of creativity is going to make an income for you. And that's a gift of God to you. And that young man was like, oh, man, that's so cool. I said, why? What do you do? He says, I draw album covers. And I just started my business. He was so encouraged. He was so blessed. I said, now, do I know you? Do we know you? He goes, no, it's amazing how right on that is. I said, well, God knows who you are. He loves you. And he's got great plans for you. I'll tell you what, I left there that day. And that young man, I could just see the plan of God on him. I could see joy on his face. I could see all that over him. And I thought, how awesome, how wonderful that I'm able to do that. But I'm able to do that because I've been renewing my mind in the Word that God can use me to be a blessing to others. Some of you seated here today, you've got giftings in you. You've got prophetic giftings. You've got healing giftings that God wants to activate. God wants to send you out into your ministry. He wants to send you into your community to not just give them a spoken word, but to also minister to them power, minister to them deliverance, minister to them wholeness. And it's in you. The anointing is in you. But it's important that you renew your mind and know that that is God's plan for you. So the kingdom, we're not limited to world thinking. We're not to be a part of the world. We're to be a part of the kingdom of God and expand the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the love of God demonstrated through the power of the Holy Spirit. How awesome it is when someone needs healing in their bodies for God to manifest that healing. How awesome when a family needs deliverance for God to manifest that deliverance. How awesome. That's the love of God, the love of Christ moving forward in Jesus' name. Amen. You have a ministry. If you've struggled getting the best out, if you've struggled really releasing the power, if you've struggled even being bold and courageous to pray for someone and to even say, can I pray for your healing? If you've struggled there, I would encourage you, go back and renew your mind. Any area where you're still believing antichrist structure, it's time to take the sword of the Spirit and cut that off of you. It's time to remove yourself from the worldly thinking. Again, worldly thinking has no solutions. It's anti-Christ. And there are many that love God, but they're still tied there. They're still tied to that way of thinking. But it's important, first, that we renew our minds, and then once we see the truth of who Christ is in us, that he wants to flow through us, that we allow him to flow. And I tell you, and I'll promise you, that is when your life, that is when our ministries are going to go to a whole new level. I never thought I could do half of what God has done through our ministries until I started finding new truths in the Word and going, Lord, that's so cool. That's so awesome that you want to do that. That's so cool that that's part of your kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, it's funny. Peace is a big one. I used to struggle with a lot of anxiety. And even after I got saved, I thought that the anxiety would be, oh, it's just the enemy coming against me. I'm still going to move forward. And then I found that one day, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I said, wait a minute. Anxiety is not of God. So I had to renew my mind in that area and say, wait a minute. I'm not part of that old structure. I'm part of the new kingdom of God. So therefore, back there it was living in anxiety. You got to deal with it. Over here is, hang on a second, peace is part of the kingdom of God. I started laying a hold of that, and I started saying, devil, you're a liar. I'm not under that antichrist structure anymore. I'm part of the kingdom. The word says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So I declare peace over my life in Jesus' name. And we were going after peace. There was a season where it got real intense. And I remember I'd have to tell my wife, honey, I'm really struggling with this anxiety thing. And we'd have to agree together. I think my wife anointed me so much with oil, I was shining all the time. And not just from my head, okay? We were just constantly, but we broke that thing off. And thank God for the peace that's part of the kingdom of God. So I want to ask you a question. What are you believing today? When you really look at yourself, look at your life, take a deep look. Have you renewed your mind in the word where what you're seeing manifest out of you is the power of God? Is it easy for you to believe, or do you really struggle believing the word of God? You struggle believing that God has a good plan for you. If you struggle in any of those areas, it's because still somewhere you're believing a lie from the antichrist structure that needs to be broken off. We can easily recognize it, break it off, and find the truth in the word of God. The enemy's a liar. He loves to lie to you about God. That's why he told Eve, did God really say that to you? Did he really say you can't have that? Well, he just said that because he knows that if you have it, you're going to be like him, and he doesn't want you to be like him. The devil is such a liar. So he twists what God says and misrepresents it. But today, we're going to recognize that God wants a body of believers that fully believe his word and rise up to the fullness of our potential. So close your eyes. Father, we thank you today for revelation from your word. We thank you, Lord, for the call to renew our minds, according to the word. Lord, everywhere, you know, every heart in this place, and we lift up every journey before you, God. And I just say every place, Lord, where we are still tied to what we believed in the past, every lie, every stronghold, every mindset, Lord, that you would expose it in this hour so that we could make a decision to break it off of us and renew our minds with the truth. So, Lord, if anywhere we've agreed with a lying spirit, if anywhere we've agreed with lies from the enemy, Father, we just repent for that. And we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for who you are, a loving Father. In Jesus' name, amen. And some of you need to hear this, but I really sensed right there when I was praying that some of you have heard a lie that God's good to others, but not to you. That you have really, that it was just going to get worse and worse. And some people might even be sitting here today thinking that God's out to get you. That he's out to get you. That you made such a mistake that God's really going to get you and correct you for that. That's not who he is. That's not how God works. So let's correct that right there. Let's expose the enemy right there. That is not who God is. Even at your worst, even with your worst mistakes, God loves you and will get you back on a great plan for your life. Isn't that awesome? Brother, what's your name? Ben? So, Ben, you are just a trophy in the hands of the Lord, and I feel like God is just going to display you. People are going to look at you, and they're going to look and say, wow, look at what God has done. And if God did that with him, he can do that with me. So God says, get yourself ready, for God's preparing such a work in you. There's such a willingness in you now to even share with others and be raw with others with what God has done in your life. But I feel like you're about to come to another level of really sharing with others and pouring your life out, even through what you do, through your job and what you do. I feel like God is going to open up doors where people are going to come and say, okay, tell me, what's different? And you're going to be, boom, you're going to just share it. It's going to be like an arrow to the heart. So God's going to put like an oil on every arrow that you share, your testimony. It's going to pierce the heart. It's going to have the ability to pierce the heart. There's so much that God is doing with you. He's going to make you like an evangelist. He's going to make you like one with a testimony that's going to go forth that's sharp and powerful. And I feel like there's been one of the things I'm seeing is like the angelic realm around you is that God's brought you here. There should have been some scratches on you and some things on you that it's like God's brought you whole. He's brought you through. He's protected you even at times where you didn't realize this, but he's brought you for a purpose and for what he has in for you. So there's a evangelist teacher in you that God's going to develop and bring forth where you're going to be a blessing to many, many people, and even those that will never enter the church. I feel like, listen to me carefully, God is going to send you to a group that will never enter church, even after you talk to them. Like, I appreciate it, but I'm not interested. But they'll be open to hearing what you have to say. So it's important that you go, because you're going to be sent to reach some who need to hear. Is that an amen? All right. Praise God. praise God for that. Isn't God good? I love the fact that we're called and that he has a plan and a purpose. And my brother, you were playing the instrument. What's your name? Just Dougie? Doug. No disrespect. Sorry. All right, Doug. So I just see a bunch of gems around you. I see a bunch of, I really sense that you're entering into the season of there's this increased value in you. I feel like God's increasing the quality of your life. I feel like God is going to, there's upgrades in store for you. Let me just say that to you. There's some upgrades that God's going to upgrade. And it's getting your attention. He's just showing his goodness to you. He's letting you know how much he loves you, how well pleased he is of you. And you've been so constant. You've been on that road. You've been moving forward. And there's been no other turning aside in any way. You've just gone forth for the things of God. And he sees that and he rejoices over that. And I just want to let you know that God just says to you that he's bringing you to a place where things are open for you for the future. I feel like there's an openness and a clarity coming to you what to do in the future. Where before you thought, what should I do at this point? Should I do this or that? I feel like God says, I'm going to open that up for you. Make it so clear that you're going to know, you're going to have an answer of peace. You're going to make some decisions up ahead that are going to help you just know that that's the right thing to do. With that, that's going to be like a gem for you. So you're going to be able to sleep well. You're going to be able to rest well and know that God is with you in this season. And understand that that perfume, that gift of perfume that you share up here, that's an aroma to the Lord. That is just so special and sacred to God that he just says to you, well done. You've developed it. You've used it. It's a gift. It's important that we move in our gifts. It's important that we use our gifts, and you are using yours. So the Lord just, I sense God just smiling over you in that area. Amen. Bless you. Praise God. What's your name, brother? Maurice. Amen. Let's extend our hands to Maurice. Do you know you can all prophesy? You all know this, right? You know you can all prophesy? All right. You can all prophesy. So Maurice, I hear God saying you're not going to go backwards. You are not going to go backwards. I feel like the hand of God's come behind you and is holding you in this certain place. There's been an assignment to push you back, but the enemy's tried that, but God says, no, you will not go backward. God's thrusting you forward, even through barriers, even through things that have been put there to try to slow you down. God says, I'm going to move you forward. I'm going to move you into a place of greater joy, of greater purpose and destiny. You're going to discover your identity in a way that's going to really come alive to you. Your purpose is going to really come alive to you in this season. And the Lord says areas where things have fallen apart, there's just going to be a restoration and a restructuring. I see divine rebuilding in your life, like things are being rebuilt and things are being built stronger, and they're being rebuilt in a way that they will last and endure and be a blessing. Does that encourage you? Amen. God bless you, my friend. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I know I minister to this couple every time I see you guys. There's that stirring. Every time I see you guys, I get that stirring for you. But I hear the Lord, brother, I hear the Lord saying to you, and this is a quote from the scripture. It's not a literal quote, but I hear the Lord saying to you, who told you you're naked? That's a quote that God told Eve when Adam and Eve, when he confronted them and he found out they messed up. The quote was, who told you you were naked? Because they thought they were naked. And before they fell, you know, they didn't think that. So there has been a voice to make you think that to subtract from you, to take away from you. And I feel like you're in a season, brother, where God is going to confront that. And he's going to be exposing the potential in you. He's going to be, you've heard words, you've heard things about things and how God wants to use you. But something rises up and tries to thwart that. I feel like God is going to expose another voice that's really coming at you, trying to take away and subtract from the purpose that God has in you. Because there's use of you this hour. There's more that you're going to start pouring out. I see you in leadership. I see you moving forward. I see you offering. I see you taking a step. The Lord says, don't doubt yourself, don't doubt this, but it's in you, it's going to be drawn out of you, and life is truly going to come, you know, it's going to really begin to flow through you as you step into the giftings that God has for you. Now, please tell me that you teach. Okay. All right. So there's a teaching gift in you, all right? Let me tell you that. There's a teaching instructional gift in you that is just, it's like something ready to just jump out. It wants attention, it wants to be used. I feel like God is going to give you that. There's also an empathetic gift. You're able to put yourself in other people's position, and you're able to understand what they're going through and really connect with them. So that gift of discerning of spirits is just only going to continue to grow and develop. And God says, practice, 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 practice. No more hiding in the shadows. No more sitting in the back. You're just going to become, both of you, I just feel like you're going to be front and center in the light. manifesting and being used of God, because there's greater need of you this hour, says the Lord. I feel like there's going to be some internet transactions for you guys that are going to make you some money. I feel like God is going to bring you like another way of making some income, and it's going to be a blessing to you. So, but this is a good season for you. You're in a place where you're realizing, I got to take a step. God's not going to do all of it, but he's said, letting you know, I want you to take a step forward. He has greater plans in store for you. Let's renew our thinking. Let's renew our minds. I just did a healing class in the town of Olean, town or city? The city, is it city? All right. I just did a healing class in the city of Olean. And again, we hit that. When you're up here teaching, you could feel when you hit that Antichrist structure. You can feel when, you know, when we've been living in Egypt for all these years, and then we come out and we're over here free, but you still believe that you're not free, and you start hearing messages of freedom, you start shrinking back. And I was teaching on healing, and I could sense that thing begin to rise up. And I was like, no, we're not going to give into it. Let's just stand up now and divorce ourselves from that old structure. And we did. And then I said, now, how many of you need healing? And we let the class minister healing. I'll tell you, 100% reports of healing. And even the pastor said that he couldn't sit because he had a problem with his knee. Been checking in with them. They're fine. The pastor's wife, problem with her shoulder, she was healed. I didn't pray. All the students prayed. They did all the praying. They were releasing healing. So there is so much more in you to manifest, so much more in you to give. It's all here. The old thinking that we're going to get rid of, and we're going to renew our minds with the word so that we can flow with the power of God. Amen. Pastor Tim, thank you.
I'd like you to stand this morning as we get ready to close. I just want to tell you one story, just one real, real quick story. Years ago, and it just obviously ties in with what Hector was just sharing. Years ago, I read a book called Power Evangelism by John Wimber. John Wimber was a real hero to me in the faith, because he was a man who really walked in that supernatural and understood that the gifts of the Spirit that God gives aren't just to be used in the four walls of the church. They're to be used outside. So power evangelism was the idea of letting God use you out there in your daily life, you know, the power of God. So, and I love that, but I'm just trying to keep this real short. So he's flying on an airplane back from a long series of meetings and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, like a lot of people that do a lot of traveling ministry, they get a lot of extra, you know, what do you call them, frequent flyer miles. So he's in first class in a, because if I say, oh, you know, pastors or ministers riding, you know, first class, you know, he gets all these frequent flyer miles. So in first class in a 747. Now, I've never been in first class, never flown in first class, but a 747, you know, they don't use those commercially anymore. They use them just for cargo and stuff. But they have that, remember the hump in a, you know, they have the second floor on a 747 in first class, where you can go up and there's like a bar, and it's just kind of like this cool place to hang out, you know, for the people that have lots of money. And so he's just sitting in first class. He's very tired. He's been ministering for days and days, and all he wants to do is just rest. He opened a book he was going to read, and there was a man, a businessman, sitting across the aisle from him. And he looked over, and the Lord gave him a name. Lord, just like it was Maria or something like that. And he's just like, Lord, you know, like he had punched out, you know, it was kind of like, I'm not doing it. And it just wouldn't go away, his name. And so finally, he reached across the aisle. He says, does the name Maria mean anything to you? And now, mind you, this guy is sitting with his wife, and her name isn't Maria. Okay? You know where this is going? And the guy just gets all flustered, and he says, let's go talk. So they go up, and I think it's like, again, I've never seen it, but like an upstairs, and they go up and they sit and they talk. And this guy's wife is with him. And, but she's just, you know, they don't, just John Wimber and this guy, they go and, you know, he says, excuse me, to his wife, I want to talk to this guy. They go upstairs and they talk. And he said, the Lord showed me that you're in a immoral relationship with this woman, and you need to repent of that and you need to get your life right. The guy just broke. He just started crying and weeping. And he gave his heart to Christ. And there's even more to the story. What he actually went on this plane trip, and he told his wife. I mean, can you imagine that? It's just bizarre. But so I'm reading this, and I'm just so hungry in my heart. You know, God, would you use me? You know, would you? And so I was heading up the college ministry at Brockport State Campus at the time for our church in Brockport. And I was in the college union, and I was sitting, maybe some of you heard this story, I think I probably told it before. And I was in the union, and I sat down, and I started talking to a student, a young man. And so I got this in the back of my mind, Lord, you know, is there some word for this guy? You know, because he wasn't a believer. And I thought, you know, I could try to explain the message of the gospel forever to him. But if he could see the power of God, in his, you know, that would break through all those barriers. So I get this sense in my mind that I needed to ask him about his father. And, you know, do you have some issue with him? And you know what I did? I talked myself out. I said, you know, he's a teenager. He's a teenage boy. Maybe he's 19 years old. You know, 90% of them have issues with their dad, right? And I don't know if that's true, but you know what I'm saying. And so I didn't say anything. And as we talked a few more minutes, he said to me, it just came right out. He says, I hate my father. And he says, you know, one time he beat me up so bad he put me in the hospital. And I hate my father. And, you know, it wouldn't do any good at that moment in time to say, you know what, 10 minutes ago, the Lord spoke to me that there was an issue with your dad that he wanted to heal in your life. But I talked myself out, you know, just because of that antichrist, you know, oh, you're just making it up. You're just trying so hard or whatever. My point is this. I know this long story turned out longer than I wanted. Forgive me. But you ask God to use you, the gifts that he's given you, and the ministry he's given you, you've got to believe that he will. It doesn't mean you were always 100%, we're never going to make mistakes or whatever, but you'll never know unless you take a step. And so I just encourage you in that. Father, I just pray. I thank you for Hector just bringing your heart to us today, and I pray for a release, God, in us, that as we go out and go through our day, that you would use us, Lord God, that you would speak to us and through us, Lord, not for us, not so we can feel like we're something, but for those that need to know the power of the living God, that it is real. So I thank you. I pray your blessing. Just pray this wouldn't go away in our hearts as we leave this place today, that you would use us and use us in new ways. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great day. Love having you here, Hector, and your family. You're dismissed.